Spend the trading in perfect dharma is rarely met with, even in 100,000 million kalpas. Having it to see and listen to, do remember and accept. I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words. I don't know if you guys do the Dharma, opening the Dharma chant three times or just once, but I usually just do it once. Yeah. Well, hi everybody. I'm glad to be here. It's quite fun. Everybody is doing the Zoom a little differently. So it's fun to see how each group does it differently. The way that my setup is, my altar is behind me. So while I'm sitting here, I can't bow and all that. So anyway, we do it a little differently. It's wonderful the way you do it so that everybody can do service with the camera far away so we can see you doing service. That's really beautiful. Those of you who haven't seen me for a while, I don't mean to be too shocking with my unkempt appearance, but it's the pandemic, you know, and so I abandoned shaving long ago. And the only human being that I see in person is my wife, Kathy, who insist that I not cut my hair off, but I do cut my beard off when it gets itchy. It gets to a certain itchy point, and then I cut it off. And then when my hair gets wild, she cuts it. So anyway, this is my new pandemic style, and I hope it's not too weird for you. I actually feel very lucky to be here today, because I thought in my calendar, you know, it said that I was speaking this morning at Seattle Soto Zen. I don't know why it said that, but that's what it said. And I assumed that I would be speaking at Seattle Soto Zen. So I emailed Allison and I said, looks like I'm speaking on Sunday at Seattle Soto Zen, but I haven't seen a link. Would you send me a link? And so she sent me a link, and I was all set this morning to be at Seattle Soto Zen. But then at 4 o'clock in the morning, she sent me an email that said, no, I don't think you're speaking at Seattle Soto Zen. I think you're speaking at Red Cedar. I said, oh. And then I remembered that I got an email from Tim. Tim is, you know, on a vacation or something, and he sent me an email and he said, I'm sorry that I won't be able to be there tomorrow, but, you know, we don't have a signal where we are and so on. And I thought he meant Seattle Soto Zen, but when I read the email again, it's no, he meant Red Cedar. So then I emailed Chris and I said, oh, and she sent me the link, which she had already sent me, but I missed it, you know? So anyway, I know you don't need to hear all that, but it's funny. And so, yeah, I'm getting old, I guess, and making mistakes and don't know where I am or what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, it's, and it's, don't you think that being in a pandemic where there's no time and no space and you're not going anywhere and not seeing anybody, you know, it's weird, right? Life is weird. It's very weird. But because I didn't know that I was coming to Red Cedar today until this morning, I didn't know that I was supposed to talk about Jijuyu Zanmai. I wasn't planning to talk about Jijuyu Zanmai at Seattle Soto Zen, because they didn't tell me that I should talk about that at Seattle Soto Zen. So anyway, it's a little mixed up. So mostly I won't talk about Ji Zhu Yu's online, and I apologize for that. I would have, if I knew what I was doing, I would have thought about it. But anyway, this morning I did think about it a little bit, and it turns out that since in the Dharma, just like in life, everything is always related to everything else, it turns out that the talk that I was going to give to Seattle Soto Zen that doesn't have anything to do with Ji Zhu Yu Zamai actually is all about Ji Zhu Yu Zamai, as it turns out. So I will share with you, as I'm sure you've heard many times during this series, I guess it's a series, the opening passage in Kaz Ta-Nehisi's translation of Ji Zhu Yu Zamai. It's very beautiful, and it bears repeating many, many times. In fact, at Tassajara, we chant it. When even for a moment you sit upright in samadhi, in zazen, in other words, expressing the Buddha mudra in the three activities, the whole world of phenomena becomes the Buddha mudra, and the entire sky turns into enlightenment. Accordingly, all Buddha Tathagata's increased Dharma bliss, the original source, and renew their magnificence in the awakening of the way. Furthermore, all beings in the world of phenomena in the 10 directions and the 6 paths, including the 3 lower paths, at once, all of a sudden, at once, obtain pure body and mind, realize the state of great emancipation, and manifest the original face. At this moment when you're sitting zazen, all things actualize true awakening, myriad objects partake of the Buddha body, and sitting upright, a glorious one under the Bodhi tree, you immediately leap beyond the boundary of awakening. Then you turn the unsurpassably great Dharma wheel and expound the profound wisdom, ultimate and unconditioned. That's the opening passage of Ji Zhu Yu Zamai. So this is very astounding, right? If you read this and you say, you really believe what he's saying here, it's quite astounding. And it seems that at first, you know, like a lot of religious jargon, you know, hopelessly in the clouds. I mean, we thought it was just me and you, like regular people in 21st century Bellingham, Washington, in the United States of America, sitting zazen on our little black cushions that we got from the Dharma store. And then we read all this. And he's saying, actually, no, that's not what is happening. When you're sitting in zazen, what you think is going on has really nothing to do with what in fact is going on. What in fact is going on is that as soon as you sit down, Buddha is appearing in your body and your breath, and you are in that moment of your intention to sit zazen and doing it. Actually, literally, in fact, Buddha. Just you sit down and kaboom, you are already Buddha in the exact moment of awakening under the Bodhi tree. That's what he's just said there. Not only are you Buddha, but you are the Buddha in that moment. So he's saying, zazen is not meditation practice. He says this literally in Fukan Zazengi. He says, zazen is not meditation practice. In Fukan Sasenge, he says, Zazen is the Dharma gate of repose and bliss, not meditation. And here he says, Zazen is not meditation. He doesn't say that literally, but he says what Zazen is the Buddha mudra. The Buddha mudra using your body and mind and breath to express itself. And not only that, but in that moment, everything is expressive of the Buddha mudra because of your sitting in Zazen. What this amounts to is that sitting in Zazen is a kind of religious ritual. You are partaking in a kind of magical transformation. And you know, honestly, I don't think this is a fantasy or an exaggeration. I believe Dogen completely. It really is true. Now, it might take 20 or 30 years to appreciate, you know, how true it is. Maybe there's like 30 years is the classical number, right? 30 years of practice. But I think you do appreciate it eventually. Probably some of you, even before 30 years, can appreciate it. This fall and winter at our Everyday Zen Dharma seminar, we were studying the Lotus Sutra. And I kept saying to people, you know, Dogen was a great follower of the Lotus Sutra, and you can feel the influence of the Lotus Sutra in this passage of Fukan Sasenge. To sit in Zazen is to sit inside the world of the Lotus Sutra, with its miraculous Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and its unbelievable happenings, with its glorious vision, especially with its glorious vision that all existing things are really and truly equally Buddha right now, including the suffering and the catastrophe. And that's what Dogen is saying in the passage. And he's saying that your Zazen is for the purpose of manifesting this and revealing it to be so. Even though whether or not you sit in Zazen, it's so anyway. But when you sit in Zazen, you illuminate it and you reveal it to be so. Anyway, my talk today is about ritual. And what made me think about ritual was that maybe some of you were there. I think it was today. What's today? Today's Sunday. Not last night, but the Saturday before yesterday, that evening. I was in an event on Zoom with the San Francisco Zen Center with Peter Coyote and Abbot Fu Schrader from Zen Center. And it was Peter's event, so he gave it the title Vernacular Zen. And his sort of idea was, I don't want to reduce Peter's idea to something like very simple, but because every idea has got a lot of angles, but simply stated, he seemed to be saying that the Japanese-ness of our practice with the robes and the chanting and the forms from Japan, it's too formal and it's too foreign, and we need a vernacular Zen, you know, a rough and ready American Zen. That seemed to be what he was saying. And you know, he's right. If you see the ritual as external, if you don't manage to get inside of it, it is too formal and too foreign. You know, why would we need all of that stuff? But just like with Zazen, once you really get inside of it, and once you really begin to appreciate what we're doing, you see it differently. So afterward, after the event was over, we had a long discussion, you know, and I think Peter thought it would be a debate, you know, and that some of us would be defending the Japanese-ness, but it wasn't a debate at all. It was just you know, we all just talked about practice, really. Anyway, after the event was over, I thought, darn, you know, I wrote a whole book of poetry about that. And I should have brought it up in the event. Why didn't I think about it? I don't know if any of you are aware of my book of poetry called Escape This Crazy Life of Tears. I don't know if you know that book, but it's too bad because it's a nice book. I really like it. And I ignored it when it came out. You know, I was thinking about something else and the book came out and I don't think I did a single reading or anything. I don't even know if I told anybody that it came out, you know. And since my publishers don't have vast publicity departments and don't place ads in magazines or anything like that, probably nobody knew it came out. And so today I want to read to you from that book. That's my plan, because it's really, it's not poetry per se, it's a poetic diary of a trip that a number of us, a pilgrimage trip that a number of us took to Japan for the purpose of performing a ritual known as Zuise. So Zuise is a ritual that is performed by priests, Soto Zen Buddhist priests, after they complete their Dharma transmission ceremonies. So you do your Dharma transmission ceremonies, usually in your home temple, and then you perform Zuise twice. The Zuise is two ceremonies, one at Eheiji and one at Sojiji, the two big headquarters monasteries of Soto Zen. And so when I received Shiho in 1988, I didn't want to do that because I thought, you know, I'm not Japanese and why should I go all the way to Japan and pay a lot of money? Because incidentally, it costs a lot of money to do these ceremonies. And I thought, you know, we should have an equivalent of this in America. We shouldn't be. So long story short, we started the Soto Zen Buddhist Association and we created a ceremony. And now Soto Zen Buddhist priests who complete Shiho do a version of the Zuise ceremony in America. But in 2010, some, how many, 30 years later, I decided that let's go to Japan and for the fun of it, I'll do the Zuise ceremony now, you know, 30 years later. Well, it's kind of funny because usually, you know, in Japan, priests who receive Shiho are young, right? It's like in the beginning of your career, you receive Shiho. So all the people who do Zuise are usually young men. And here I show up, this old guy, with about 20 priests that I've already ordained, right, to do the Zuise ceremony. So the Japanese did not know what to think about this. It's just totally, it was odd in every way. But anyway, we did it because it was, you know, fun to do and interesting. And, you know, we needed a good excuse, you know, sort of an organizing principle for our trip. So anyway, Escape This Crazy Life of Tears is a diary in poetic form that I wrote along the way of the trip and then, you know, edited into a text, and it was published by a press, a poetry press in Hawaii. I forget what year it was published. 2014. So you'll see all this in as I read, but the sort of thesis of the book, and this is so interesting to me. So here we are in Japan, right? We're wearing the same robes that the Japanese wear. We're chanting the same text because, you know, we know how to chant in Sino-Japanese, so we can chant the Makahanya Haramita Shingyo, we can chant the Dai Shindarani and all these, you know, the Sandokai and all these texts. So we're chanting the same text, doing the same practice, using the same forms, wearing the same robes, except they think that all this, the point of all this is to preserve the past, to honor the deep Japanese past and its Zen heritage, because to be Japan is to be a Buddhist and a Zen Buddhist, more or less. And they see the modern world ignoring all this, right? So the Japanese Buddhist establishment feels like it is holding the line to preserve what is most precious about being Japanese while everybody else is scurrying around buying stuff, right? And not paying any attention to it. Whereas we, Americans, think that it's about our lives. It's about how we live and how we understand our lives and how we can see life going forward in the future. We hope that the Buddha Dharma is a civilizing influence, right, on the crazy consumerism and militarism of our typical American life. We hope that it makes a contribution to our culture, to our children and their children, and to our lives. So in other words, we have no past, you know, in Zen, except maybe like 30 years or 50 years or something. They have hundreds of thousands of years of past, right? So here we are doing the same practice, but it has the opposite meaning. And yet at the same time, there's no present and future without an appreciation of the depth of the past. And there's no past worth remembering if there's not a present and a future. So that's sort of what I'm constantly writing about in the book. So one last word before I finally get to the book and read for you a little bit. My wife, Kathy, who some of you know, is also a Zen Buddhist priest and now doing quite a bit of Zen teaching and leading. When she talks about ritual, she always says to everybody, this is not a performance. And what she means by that is, let's not get caught in the stupid trap that a lot of Zen centers get caught in, of being like very uptight and perfectionistic about the rituals. As if the ritual was a kind of performance. And if you made a mistake, you know, you would be criticized. And if you did it right, you would get a big pat on the back, as if you had just did a piano recital and it was a smash hit, you know. Let's not look at ritual like that. It's not a performance. And I always say the opposite. I always say, this is a performance. And when I say this is a performance, I don't mean you should be uptight or expect congratulations for doing it right and scoldings if you do it wrong. What I mean by that is just like an actor who disappears into a role so that the role in the minute, in the moment, you know, that she's performing it is completely real, more real in that moment than her everyday personality. That's how we perform rituals, including the ritual of Zazen, with full commitment to the role, throwing away our usual life. When you are a Buddhist priest, a Zen priest, wearing your robe, you are in the character of the Buddha. You are pretending you're a Buddha. You're performing the role of Buddha. Of course, you also know you're not really the Buddha. You're just an ordinary schmo. Nevertheless, in that moment of the ceremony, you completely commit yourself to the role of Buddha. You are the Buddha just for that one disappearing moment. And you that's how you practice the ritual. You put your mind in that place. You put your heart in that place. You throw away your body and mind, your regular body and mind, and you become the Buddha body and mind. Because only a Buddha can offer incense and bow and give life to the statue on the altar. Only a Buddha can give precepts. An ordinary schmo cannot give precepts. Only a Buddha can do that. So you have to perform Buddha. And whenever anyone sits in Zazen, that person is performing Buddha. That's what Dogen is saying in Fukan, in Jiju Zamai. You perform Buddha when you sit in Zazen. Okay, so then I read a little bit from the book. July 15th, 2010. Yamashiro. Let the past be past. Let the present reflect the past as it will and must. Let not the past oppress the present, nor the present deny the past. Then we visited a small monastery called Hokyoji. Tanaka-san was the abbot there, and he was quite colorful. Hokyoji is kind of famous because it's got a little treasure house which has the most famous portrait, original portrait of Dogen, the one that you see in all the books. That portrait of Dogen actually is there in Hokyoji, this little mountain. It's a very small monastery, temple. So we visited there. Hokyoji, steep stone path to gate, past gate to Hondo, Shokan, Sampai, Raihai. These are rituals, incense offering, bowing, and so on. Shokan, Sampai, Raihai, Tanaka Hojo-san talks, relaxed. A bully bullied one who is subject to bullying, pressed heavy weight on weak knees on concrete. Here he made Raihai, Sanzen Raihai, 3,000 bows, and carried the man round the hondo doing penance. Another man cheated on his wife, did Raihai, cleared his soul. My gift to you, do Raihai. Also do at least 3 minutes of Zazen a day. I don't say only, I say at least, which I do each day. 47 years, 55th abbot of Hokyoji. Translated by young half-white boy ordained a month ago, unsure of the sense of what Hojo-san says. What does he mean? Which is which, bully or bullied? Drenched in painful self-consciousness and awkward stage fright, when Ruth, Kate, Michael, or the ex-soldier could have easily done as well with less mortification, but it's him. Juman, Chinese, met Dogen at Tiantong, Tendo's place, 7 years his junior. Impressed with serious Japanese monk, he came to the wild country of Kami, sat on mountain rock 18 years as Mongols marched the mountain pass, came down to found Hokyoji. Then Gien planted same cypress here he then planted at Eheiji, now 700 years gone by. Big wooden fish outside Sodo, 3 generations planned. Crack, crack, crack. First, I thought, this is Tanaka-san, Hojo-san, speaking again. First I thought, teacher just like Buddha, then rebelled, 10, 15 years, then very sick, ate barley only, very expensive, money gone, then Eheiji Raihai, please, Mr. Dogen, spare this life, I'll be good, and did, and was, 47 years till now, trying. So, do what Mr. Norman Fischer tells. Practice hard in many lifetime, or if you also be Buddha, honor the past. Winter in Hokyoji, much snow piled up on old roof. Monks must knock it down, dangerous. I will send this snow to America, if possible. Small rain, then pelting rain, strong rains sound. Pit, pit, drum hits earth. Peaceful sound, rain. These green mountains, strong, clear streams. Dogen's portrait, only one painted in his lifetime, seen on covers of all the books in English, puckered plum blossom lips, thick square face, jutting jaw, distant eyes, here in Hokyoji treasure house with Dogen's own Chinese poem, ink still black after 800 years. Portrait of Tendo too. Avuncular and kind. Practice hard not to get it right, but it's the only way escape this crazy life of tears. Why do they freeze in unheated Hokyoji? Why practice in those harsh conditions? Old-time people believed okay to die in Dharma pursuit. Good karma, better luck next time. Otherwise, despair, dejection, terror, and fear. No use this worldly life anymore. Go to Buddha's land, seek fortune. Do or die. So that was our wonderful trip to Hokyoji. I think Martha Abelson, who's from the Pacific Northwest, I think she had a connection to Tanaka-san from Hokyoji. That's how come we visited there. We didn't know him. Anyway, now another entry from July 18th. This is written in Yaizu in Rinso-in, which is the Suzuki Roshi's original temple. Now his son has been the abbot there for many, many decades. And he's a good, wonderful Zen teacher and our teacher and friend. But from there, I'm writing about the Zuise ceremony at Eheiji. So this is about the ceremony at Eheiji. Eheiji Zuise, bowing to Dogen. Purify robes with incense, arrive, rehearse, bathe, eat, sleep. But Koe-san seems not to sleep. So Koe-san is a young priest who was my partner during the Zuise ceremony. The two of us went through it together. So we were sleeping in the same room. Koe-san seems not to sleep. Arrives late, rises early, sleeps on back, unmoving, summer heat killing. robes soaked through. Asa Zagu needs sewing's heart to grip and slides off arm. Hus flips, tassels dangling, just as instructed. Long, long, a Heiji corridors, many steps, sizes, steep and steeper, stopping, bowing, going on in little red slippers, paying respects to past. They always give you little red slippers to wear. That's how they know you're one of the people doing the Zuisa. You're the only person in the monastery wearing little red slippers. Stopping, bowing, going on in little red slippers, paying respects to past. Mr. Generation, today's Tendo Nyojo's day. Sun comes out after night of thunder and rain, early morning Jodo Hall as monks sit. All this written before and again and again. They were life. I am here. You will be there. Here. Times specific and eternal, not external. No outside in time. No outside at all. Ashes, ashes, all fall down. Rise up, sidestepping, three steps, bow to guest director, no mistakes, just as if nothing happened. Flowing movement in Hato. Hato is the big Dharma hall. Under golden parasols, golden lotus offerings, murmured chanting, heart throb, drum, bow and leave. Shingyo, Dharani, incense, many bows, hoss flips, Koe and I in perfect time together, short and tall, big and small, old and young, together. Photo, photo, like everything in Japan, taking the photo is the most important part. Red Koromo and white Okesa, it's Hojo-san, abbot's representative. So in the ceremony at some point after it's done, the abbot's representative comes to congratulate you in a formal ceremony of congratulations. And it turned out, as we knew, of course, in advance, that Hojo-san, Hoitsu Suzuki, our friend from Rinso-in, was at that time an official at a Heiji. So he played the role of the abbot's representative. So it was funny. It was supposed to be this big, official thing, but actually it was our dear friend playing this role. So it's Hojo-san, abbot's representative, congratulations, congratulations, bow and receive, temple administrator. Zazen is for happiness for all people everywhere, none left out. Congratulations on becoming a priest. Sweets and tea, plum and sweet water, it all makes sense once you see the logic. Logic gone wild in detail and respect. Young monks shout and clean, race down hallways, bow and breathe in a blur. And I don't know if you can see that, but that's the picture of the young monks. This has the virtue of being a very unusual and illustrated with photographs poetry book. And the photos, this photo is blurry on purpose. It's very blurry because the young monks are running in a blur. Everywhere you look, something, someone, never, nothing, always. So after the Zuisa ceremony at Eheiji, Koe-san came with his mother to visit us at Rinso Inn, where we were staying for quite a while. We went there a couple times during our trip. That's, as I said, Suki Roshi's original temple in Yaizu. They come from a town where that's famous for eel cookies. So they brought us some eel cookies as a gift. Koi and Michiko, his mom, bringing eel cookies, famous eel cookies, sit, drink tea, compare rakusus, family connections. My father's teacher was your grandfather teacher's sister's husband. Imagine. Shoes off, shoes on. Where's shoes? Last night's zazen, sudden flash of inner light in full robes, humid heat, all pores, blaze, sweat, and fires in the organs then. Evaporation's cooling effect. Time drum and bell. Boom. 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 Dong. 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 Old serene sound of ancient mountain. Ants up and down the tree. The children always want to kill them. A fun thing to do. Move small thumb and all ants fun spoiled. You can do it. You are big. Hojo grandpa, because these were Hojo-san's grandchildren. Hojo grandpa says, no, don't do that. Laughs as they do it all the more. Ants that speak in smells, that make chemical trails, that make intricate houses, whose queens lay eggs 20 years, highly intelligent, efficient, lovely ants, busy ants, somehow gone. But others now resume their business. Children go on to other joys. When you are dead, things improve. People feed you, bow to you, bring many treats, respect. Their daily activity maintains your memory, and you don't have to sweat in summer, freeze in winter, eat or poop, talk, get your feelings hurt, get mad, disgusted, feel tired, sick. You don't have to die. In this world, we take care of, honor our dead. The whole of our activity dedicated to them. Our life keeps past alive. In this world, another world, we figure out new things to do. We figure the past is dead and gone. What use could it possibly have now unless it tells us a better way to live? Or is maybe material for a theme park or interesting tourist spot. The past was fine, but we have to live our lives now. We have problems. So now, maybe one last quick one. Let's see how long this takes. This is, now we go to Sojiji, the other headquarters monastery, to do, as we say again, it's slightly different. So you got to remember all these very important details. Tetsu says, now, time to take a bath, you two. But there are three of us. Me, Koi-san, and now we've got an extra guy joining us, Ryuki-san. So there are three of us, and Tetsu comes in and says, now time to take a bath, you too. But not Koi-san. He thinks Koi-san is a woman. I am not woman. I am man. Ryuki-san and Koi-san have a great laugh over this. He is so beautiful, I think he woman, Tetsu explains. No one is embarrassed. There's a picture of Koi-san. He is very beautiful, right? He, I think, I can't remember whether it was him or his father, but one of them, his father also was a priest and they had a temple. One of them, or if not both of them, were jazz trumpet players and they would have jazz concerts in their temple. And he would be wearing a hoodie when he wasn't, when he was traveling, you know, and not wearing his robes. Bhadavadra, Bodhisattva of the bath, bow and bathe. Not bass, a fish. Not bat, to hit a ball. Bath, with tongue between teeth. Hard to say. 3:30, wake up. Please put on colorful robe belt. But I haven't got colorful robe belt. I will get for you yellow, not mouse color, as I ordered from Matsumoto-ya. Do you know mouse? Not mouth with tongue between teeth? Yes, I know mouse. I like mouse. Tom and Jerry. Zazen, bow to Kenton man. Turn around, sit more. Pop up, back to room to change into Okesa and Besu. Okesa, Sojiji style, tied, but not flipped back and tucked so that it constant flaps out. One must constant retuck. No, that's a Heiji style. In Sojiji style, you don't flap and tuck so panels flop. Ties showing so easier. Sampai is different too. You stand on zagu, bow, stand off, prostrate, must remember, stand on zagu, bow, stand off, prostrate. Must remember these small details as you bow and walk, even run down long, polished, and slippery corridors in shiny red slippers that at least almost this time fit. Keizan altar high above in biggest hato in the world, kneeling, wash hands to purify, then sidestep up, sampai. Daiten, but tenzagu for bows to right and left and center again after shoko in choki in dim early morning pre-dawn, pre-light, then sidestep down other side to bow to Memorial Hall, Master march round tatami, following Koi-san, who follows Ryuki-san, who follows the leader. Chan Sutra, know when to bow, know when to lift your head. Do you know when? This is most important thing, the only important. No, I do not know. Here is what you must say in Japanese in a very loud voice as you bow to Ryoban. Gozuiki, arigato gozaimasu. Very loud. Eat plum. Drink tea. Drink more tea. But place certificate on top of the cake. You do not eat. Anyway, I messed up all the, I did everything wrong. It was so hot, you know? And I could barely think straight. And, you know, you're dressed in all these layers. But it was really a lot of fun. We had a good time in Japan. Anyway, as I was saying on that Saturday night event, you know, we all are so used to all this. You know, I've been putting on my okesa most of my life, right? 40 years or something like that. So the majority of my adult life, since a young person, I've been wearing the okesa and folding and unfolding the zagu in various ways, daiten or tenzagu, as it says. So is it Japanese? No, it feels kind of normal. It feels like my life. It feels like who I am, what I am. So that's the point of ritual, and zazen is a ritual. It really does remake you. It really does make you a different person, little by little by little. And I think in a good way, you know, because the values and virtues of Buddha Dharma are values and virtues that I think we aspire to anyway. In another talk I was giving about the Lotus Sutra, I was saying that the Lotus Sutra's teaching of universal Buddhahood really makes sense to us Americans, right? Who know from the Declaration of Independence that we believe and feel that everybody should be treated with dignity and respect and given equal opportunity. That's sort of an American virtue. Even though now we're learning to our tremendous sorrow and pain that we have not practiced this. But we really want to, don't we? We really want to. And so that's why the Mahayana Buddhist virtue makes sense to us. But you realize how hard it is to overcome self-centeredness. You know, the average really, really good person is very self-centered. We all are. Takes a lot to overcome self-centeredness. It's a radical thing. And that's why we need zazen and everything else we can find to help us realize what I think has been our heart's desire from the beginning. Okay. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. And Chris told me that, do we chant now, Chris? Or do we wait till the very end? We're going to chant now. Can you please lead the chants, since I'm not sure exactly how or what you chant? I'll put myself on mute and you lead the chant.
May our intention equally extend to every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. Norman, would you have a few minutes available for questions? And I want to apologize for my internet conking out a couple of times.
I think we survived it okay, I think.
I just would like to add that we do not pay our guest teachers. So if you feel you're able to do so, please, and you wish to do so, please go to the Everyday Zen Foundation to donate, to give Dana. Thank you very much.
How will we do the, if someone wants to speak, will they just speak or how do we do it? It's only a few people. I think people could just speak spontaneously. Yeah. But they have to unmute themselves first, yeah.
Thank you very much for coming and giving a talk. And 2 years ago, we were sitting somewhere else at Tassajara. And